It was tempting to spend time with the notion of shepherd again, but I've done that a lot, and it's not that I have nothing else to say on it, although it's possible I don't. So I thought I'd, rather than risk that, I would instead revisit, sort of, last week's sermon, at least in the form of the sermon title. And last week said, how do we know? And this Sunday is, how else do we know? So quite similar. But I think the question is worth asking again, even if it comes from a slightly different perspective, and this one does. The short answer to how else we know is pretty familiar, and it's love. Obviously, this is coming from the first epistle of John, John's first letter to the church, one of the few letters we have that are that close to the person of Jesus. And so we see, first of all, that John says that we know love by this. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to do the same, which I'd just like to admit is a pretty big ask, all in all. And if that was the only way we could show it, that, well, I guess there isn't a bigger ask than that, is there? You want to prove you love somebody, you have to lay down your life for them, which, I don't know, most of us aren't in that kind of danger, so I don't even know how we do it. And I'm grateful that John instantly moves on to say this isn't only about dying. But when you put it in those terms, that the way to demonstrate love is the same way Jesus did, by at least being willing to die for people, the next things that come along aren't as difficult, aren't as big. John says that it isn't only about dying or through dying. It's by truth and action, not only words. So what does he mean by that? Well, he goes right on to it, right from the very beginning, to say, how on earth could God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and doesn't help? And John is beginning this process of saying that, in a very real sense, it's easy to die for your faith. And obviously, I understand that that's not easy, but there's a fairly well-known saying that said, dying for your faith is easy, living it out is hard. And this is where it begins. We need to be the kind of people who demonstrate our love for others in more than just what we say, which doesn't mean that sometimes our demonstration of love is in what we say, because words do matter. But deeds, truth, are truth in action in a way that matter at least as much, if not more. I always go back to James, who says that if you see somebody who is hungry and cold and you say, be warmed and filled and move on your way, it's useless. And it is. Well, it's worse than useless. It's unkind. If you have something that somebody needs and you know it and they know it and you tell them you hope they get what they need and just move on, that's an unkind thing to do. That's not showing love. That's showing disinterest, disrespect. And we need to be able to move past those sorts of things into the action that sometimes is more than we might want to do. But that's what it comes down to. Love needs to be seen for it to be real for other people. We can be as loving as we want on the inside, but if we behave in such a way that people can't see it, what good is it? This doesn't mean that we have to be always looking for big and dramatic and huge things to do for people, because sometimes the kindest and most loving thing we can do for someone is a kind word. It's not always about the giving of physical things, sharing our property. Sometimes it's about standing in silence beside someone. I remember long, long ago, well, back to 1990, when my mom died. And she died early Sunday morning. And so we went to church anyway. Somebody asked my dad, why'd you go to church? And he said, well, what else would we do? So we went to church. We sat all together as a family in a different place than we ordinarily would. And it was announced in the service, and it was a bit of a thing. And a friend, mostly of my two younger brothers, he's a few years younger than I am, had no idea what to say So he came and he sat with us. A loving action that was all he could do. There was nothing more that he could do for us than that. And I often think of that all these years later, of him walking. It was it's a big church. So if you want to go from one side to the other, it takes a moment, and it takes some intention, and it takes the possibility of people wondering what you're doing or anything else. But he came from wherever he'd been sitting before, and he sat with us because he knew and he loved my mom. And he knew and he loved us, especially my brothers, but all of us. We were family. Our families were family friends. And that's what he could do for us. That was an action that demonstrated that he loved us. It wasn't a huge thing. But I still remember it all these years later. And I value it as a memory of someone doing something that was all they could do for me. We do these things because of the love that's within us. And I don't know if you caught that part where John reminds us that God is greater than our hearts, because one of the things that can happen to us when we pay attention to this passage of scripture, we pay attention really to all of 1 John and even larger than that, everything that John wrote, including the gospel, according to John, assuming John wrote all of it, and there's always that kind of thing to wonder about. But if we pay attention to that and we really bring it into ourselves and we start paying attention to what we do and what we don't do, it's possible for us to start thinking things about ourselves that aren't true. Because really, there's something about human beings, and particularly about those of us who have this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, those of us who say we are part of this community, we tend to look at what we should do on the basis of our best day rather than the day we're in. And often we will look at, we'll be reviewing what we did during the day, and we think, oh, I should have done this action. I should have said this word. I should have done whatever it is. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize that, yes, we could have done that on our best day. But could we have done it today? Often we couldn't have. Our awareness of what could be done often exceeds our ability to do what needs to be done. And that's okay. That's one of the things that I have learned over this past year and however long of this pandemic. When I realized that I had reached the limit of what I could do and even gone beyond that to the point where I was unwell and had to take time off from work, weeks and weeks off from work, trying to recreate the capacity to do the bare minimum, helped me see that I often saw things that could be done and that in other circumstances I would have done, but I could not. And it's possible for us to be worried about that, to have what sometimes is referred to in older texts as an over-tender conscience. That's what John's talking about when he says in verse 19, and by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us, because that's what an over-tender conscience does. Well, that's what a conscience does, but sometimes it doesn't get it quite right. We are condemned by our own hearts. Our own heart says, you didn't do enough. But we're reassured because God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. I don't know if you've been fortunate enough to have this experience. I have more than once, and it's a wonderful thing, if a little surprising at first. When I find myself saying, inwardly, I need to do this. And the Holy Spirit, as clear as anything, as clear as a voice — it isn't a voice, but it's as clear as if someone's talking to me — says, no, you don't have to do that. And it was a surprise the first few times it happened, because I wasn't talking about, well, you know, we're a little short of money, maybe I'll go rob a bank. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about things that needed to be done that ordinarily I would be able to do. And over most of 2020, this is what the Holy Spirit was working with me on. as I was there saying, I should do the dishes, I should do the laundry, I should do this, I should do that. And for everything that I said I should do, the Holy Spirit kindly but firmly said no. Because I was unwell, because I didn't have the capacity to do that, and I was fooling myself to think I did. I wasn't being noble or virtuous, I was being foolish. And the Holy Spirit said no to things that needed to be done that ordinarily I could have done, and said yes when I finally said, do I need rest? Yes, go lie down for a bit. Go read a book for a bit. Do something that recreates you from the inside out. So rather than wasting what small amount of energy and capacity you have now and delaying your getting better, take the rest, take the time that you need to do. The Holy Spirit will do that for us if we're willing to listen. The Holy Spirit will come to us and say, yes, I appreciate your conscience popping up and saying, oh, that would have been a good thing to do, but that wasn't your good thing to do. It was someone else's. Our ability to see what needs to be done almost always, I'm tempted to say always, exceeds our capacity to do it. One of my counseling professors used to say that talk to any Christian person and ask them what they should do, and you'll realize it would take two or three excellent people to accomplish all of that. And it's because we see what needs to be done, and that's not a bad thing either. But when we see us as the only possibility of dealing with that, sometimes that's a problem. And John addresses that, and it's wonderful to see that he addresses it right after saying that biggest ask possible, that we should be willing to lay down our lives for our friends. Okay, but you should begin by sharing with people those things that you have that you can share. You'll notice Paul or John does not say you should impoverish yourself. John doesn't say you should swap places with someone who has nothing by giving them everything you have. John says, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? We need to listen to our hearts, of course, but we also need to remember that our hearts are not perfect. Our conscience is not perfect. We don't always get it right. And when we don't, once again, we have a place we can go. What does John end this passage that we had this morning read for us with? And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. It's not just following Jesus. It's not just admitting that God is God. It's also realizing the Holy Spirit is every bit as much God as Jesus and the Father, the Creator, Son, Holy Spirit. We don't understand how it works. We don't have to. It's all God. If we want to know how we love people, we often get it right. But if we don't, we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us that we might do what needs to be done, what we need to do. And it comes back to that thing that I've been saying over and over again for the last number of years, speaking to you and also to myself, as I always am, that it's important for us to identify what it is that only we can do because of the context we're in, the people we know, where we live and move. And those are the things we do, because we're not God's only solution. There's always another way if needed. But God has put you into the family you're in, the neighborhood you're in, the building you're in, the community you're in, because you have something to offer that no one else can. And we ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to those things that we can do, that we can do, that we are able to do, not that anyone is able to do, not that need to be done by someone somewhere sometime. What is it that God wants me to do today in this moment? This is the only moment, the only day I have. I don't have tomorrow. It's not here yet. Whatever I did yesterday is gone. What is it that I need to do to demonstrate a love that is willing to, if necessary, lay down my life for those people that I love? If we get it wrong, we get it wrong. What we do is we have an orientation towards love that always asks the question, what is it that I can do? And when we start answering that, the Holy Spirit will guide us to make sure that we're doing what it is that we can do and not trying to do more. How else do we know? How else do we know? By loving each other. Amen.